You're listening to the podcast with a K. I'm Christian Corley. With me this week are James McLean and Brian Terranova. I think I'm in charge. Am I in charge again now?
You are in charge.
You played the theme music, so.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed not being in charge. It was really cool. We need to do more of that. So we're in the first week of 2021, which means we've been doing this podcast, the three of us, for 10 years almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. Mm.
So that's some sort of anniversary that I'll probably make a half-assed attempt to look up at some point in the next 3 weeks. But more to the point, now we're going to be discussing some recent developments in the world of Doctor Who. A few things have happened.
Do you remember when 2020 and 2021 seemed like the far future?
Yeah, I do.
I was thinking, you know, like we've got Cyberpunk.
It's like 2 years ago.
Cyberpunk 2077 is obviously, you know, big in the news for various reasons at the moment. But I remember when it was the role-playing book was Cyberpunk 2020.
Yeah.
And that was the future, you know, the near future of cyberpunk. And it's like, it's not only not no longer 2020, we're past it. And I know, obviously, we've always gone through the 2015 Back to the Future stuff. But
well, there's the 2006 from Transformers the movie as well.
Yeah.
When we hit 2006, well, my head blew.
Yeah, Target 2006, that was one to wait for.
Yeah.
It just seems progressively more cruel.
It does a little.
Space 1999, Buck Rogers, you know, NASA launching the last of its deep space probes in 1989, along with Telos. Oh, no, that was 86. So, But anyway, sorry, I divulge. It's just weird hearing you say it was 2021.
Yes, it is. No, it is. You're absolutely right. You're right to be surprised. It's almost as if the years kind of sneak up and overtake us, isn't it, really, in some ways?
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah, so, and speaking of things sneaking up, Jodie Whittaker was cast as the Doctor in 2017. And the kind of the big news of the day, news du jour, which has got nothing to do with lockdowns and viruses, is that there is a it's believed that she's quitting Doctor Who. Now, there's obviously nothing from the BBC on this, and if there was anything from the BBC, it would kind of give things away somewhat, wouldn't it? But it's appeared in two tabloid newspapers, The Sun and The Mirror. Various other outlets have picked it up, as they tend to do. Now, if she's about to do her third season, then that would be the optimum time in kind of Peter Davis and Patrick Troughton.
Yeah, Troughtonian.
In Troughton time for wrapping things up. She would, of course, have been doing the show for a lot longer than that for various reasons. The big thing is, one, do we believe it? And number two, who's next? Now, there's a few names thrown in there.
The usual names.
A few of the usual names are in there as well. There's one in there that I'm a bit upset about. I've watched a video this morning of, I can't remember who made it. It wasn't Pitt Madeley, but it was someone like that, of the final scenes of the New Year special, or late in the New Year special, Revolution of the Daleks, where the TARDIS folds up. And the Ravio character is still in the TARDIS that she was left in when the secondary TARDIS was sent to Earth at the end of The Timeless Children.
Okay.
And Julie Graham's character. Now, Julie Graham is someone that I can see as the Doctor, if we're staying on a female Doctor. But, I mean, one of the names that's been mentioned is Jo Martin, who, after several rewatches of both the episodes that she's in, or all the episodes she's in, I just don't find her likeable at all as the Doctor, I'm afraid. But there's all sorts of different names being mentioned. Tom Ellis, Michael Sheen, not Martin Sheen, which I nearly said, which will be interesting in its own right. All the usual names, as James says. I mean, does anyone have any kind of like new out there approaches to this, maybe? I don't know. I mean, I can see Sheen. I think Sheen would be quite good, and it might kind of, he might consolidate a few things, which might be useful at this stage, given the way the storyline in the main series of Doctor Who's kind of divided fans considerably over the past few months. But, I mean, do either of you guys have any ideas? Anyone new you've seen lately?
You know, I don't really have ideas on who should be the Doctor, because I'll be honest, I usually like, rather than me sitting there saying, hey, it should be this person, and then that person's cast and I'm like thrilled, I usually like when it's a left field choice that you're like, wow, I never saw this person coming, and they blow you away kind of thing, which I don't think we've had for a little while now, in my opinion. It's more so, it's less Jodie and more so Chibnall that I would like to personally see move on, just because Chibnall, like Moffat, I don't feel like they're writing something that is piquing my interest. And I know the show is not written solely for me, but you know, I'm the fan talking right now. I'd like to see a different showrunner come in, somebody who actually gets the show back to kind of what, you know, the show's roots, what it really is kind of things. So I just don't kind of feel like we're having that. Jodie, moving on, 3 years thing makes sense. Who's coming next? I don't know. I've never really had the say before, you know. I don't have a choice. There isn't an actor standing out to my mind that I'm like, it's got that person's perfect. You know, it's kind of weird. There just isn't a choice that I'm sitting there saying this one.
One of the names that sort of leaped out to me was Gwilym Lee, who was in Midsummer Murders and played Brian May in Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm not sure if he could carry it off, but then again, he's basically played Brian May, which can't be difficult. Can't be easy, beg your pardon. So maybe he could, but as I said, there's a whole bunch of names in there. Robert Carlyle's probably too old now, sadly. And he's probably had his fill of fantasy with Once Upon a Time, to be honest, which he basically carried for 7 years. I wonder if he looked old by the end of it. James, any ideas?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit like Brian. I like being surprised.
Yeah.
I think there's always a danger when you start looking for actors because they've done something quirky-ish, which just leads you to wanting David Dixon to become the Doctor.
Not David Dickinson, didn't you?
David Dixon, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I'd love to, it wouldn't happen. If we talk about men, I would really love to see John Sim do the Doctor.
Mm.
I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
I would see something that was like a mixture between the Master and Sam Tyler could be sort of sit a little more like, and not because of the northernness, well, probably possibly because of it, a bit more like Christopher Eccleston in some ways. That would be something I would like. But to be honest, I'd like to see another woman try it. I kind of feel I think that would be a good move politically, so it doesn't feel like it's a one-off thing. Mm. And then the bets are off after that as to which way it goes. I don't think it should have to be a woman, but I would sort of say I actually kind of feel like I want to see another woman. I am feeling a bit like the way the Doctor's constantly written, and again, this comes back to maybe what Brian's saying a bit, the way that the character is written, whenever it's a man, it's starting to feel like it's always the same thing. And I felt Capaldi, as we talked about at the time, suffered a bit from this, that whenever he was trying to break out and be Capaldi, he ended up having to do lines which were written, felt like they were being written for Matt Smith or David Tennant or Tom Baker. And I'm kind of a bit bored of the male Doctor in a weird way. So I would be quite happy to see if having another version of a female Doctor might bring something different to it, or might encourage the writers to bring something different to it. Which I kind of feel they've struggled with Jodie, because with Jodie they've still been trying to do the same thing. And I feel like, you know, once again, they need to stand back and let the actors lead it a bit more, maybe. But
I think maybe Jodie shows us that having, you know, what there was over all these years from 1963 to 2016, whatever, this single way of writing the Doctor, an almost singular way of writing the Doctor, when the Doctor isn't male, then there has to be a difference to it. It's maybe the closest of the old Doctors to Jodie is probably Peter Davison's Doctor.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. And I think that sort of encourages, even though in theory it shouldn't make any difference because it's the character, not the gender, which is the Doctor. I think it does to some degree of writing. And I think the other thing which is good about having a female Doctor is it also shifts how they plan their companions as well, which is something we'll obviously be talking about in a minute.
Okay.
But I think that, again, can give the show a bit of a fresh slant. So again, I think, yeah, having a different gender doctor may be something I quite like, because it shifts the, as you say, the relationships of the writer to the character, which can make it feel a bit more fresh. So I'd like to possibly see another woman doctor. And then after that, I'm quite happy to see it go either way, because I don't think it should have to stick with women now. But I think it's, at the moment, a little fresh, even though it perhaps hasn't been reached its potential.
You know, there's a thought that you both had in there that, like, you know, like having it be a female doctor, you know, would be written differently than a male doctor kind of thing, and that we've seen all the variations of a male doctor kind of played and so on. And I kind of have like a slightly different perspective on that. And it actually goes back to when Matt Smith got the role, and even Peter Davison, to be honest. But one of the things that I said when Matt Smith got the role was that I didn't want to see this young actor come in and play this character like young and hip or young and weird. Like, to me, he's, you know, 1200-year-old Time Lord that is an older guy, you know, and coming in, I thought it would have been great to have him playing this kind of older personality in this younger body, because that's what he is. And even if you start there and kind of slowly build him and make him realize, no, I'm not that. I am this young guy, this new body now. I think that would be interesting. And then therefore, if you have like a female doctor coming in, which we do already have, I've noticed things where, you know, immediately Jodie is like jumping to, I think there was the one episode where, you know, she claims that she got an upgrade as a body being a woman and so on. And it's kind of like, but this is like, to your knowledge, it's the first time you're a woman. I think it would have been interesting to see the character getting used to being a woman, you know, and coming up with those kind of insights and coming up with those kind of differences, because they're living this life now that they hadn't previously done before, excluding the Chibnall plot line that, you know, whatever is so debated right now. But that to me would have been more interesting, because it would have been more true to the character. Like if we said the character was virtually the same for through all the other doctors being a guy, once he changes bodies into a woman, he should have still been that same guy, essentially, and kind of realizing this life is different. People are treating me different. And that was something I wanted to see with Matt Smith. I wanted him to walk in the room and be that old scientist that comes in and tries to take charge of the situation. But everybody looks at him and they're like, dude, you're 12 years old. Why should we listen to you? And he's got to overcome all of these objections to the way that he looks. And I said that probably on the podcast before, when he became the doctor and when we were watching certain episodes. And I would have liked to have seen that with Jodie as well. And I think to a degree they did it with Jodie. But I don't think they had the doctor kind of realize, oh God, that's right. You know, I've changed. Things are different now. I have to kind of like adjust to that. And I'm not saying like adjust to it in a bad way where they're like, oh, I'm a woman now, I can't do anything. That'd be stupid. But they have to adjust and be like, oh crap, people are treating me differently. Well, okay, this is how I gotta react now. It would have been interesting to see. And maybe getting another female doctor who would do that would be interesting. But the problem you'd have there is that the doctor would have just lived a lifetime being a woman already.
Yeah, no, I see your point. Because I mean, in the end, it's almost like if you sort of say, I don't see color, sort of people therefore sort of remove the issue of race and racism with that sort of statement.
Right.
And in the sense, if you have a doctor which came in, which was kind of good the way that she wasn't doing the Moffat thing of like, oh my God, I've got breasts now. This is really weird. You know, that
absolutely.
Sort of, but I can't use
there
my
is a sort
pocket.
Of thing that women and men are treated differently in society in different ways. And you could have the character respond to those differences in how they perceived a bit. Yeah, I think that's true. And yeah, I think you're right. I think with Matt Smith, that's probably, they never really did that. I think he did seem to me like an older person, a young person's body, but you're right. That whole thing of how people responded to him wasn't really there, was it?
Right. And that would have made like a huge difference.
Yeah.
And Chibnall did hint on, like you said, the kind of the racism angle with the master, with Sasha playing the role. But it was obviously very story based with the Nazis and kind of thing, you know, but I would have liked to have seen more of that, you know, and not, you know, obviously, like, not in a bad way, like, in a good way, like have it addressed, like, call it out for what it is, but have the character address it in a good way kind of thing, just like people are doing on social media and so on. It would have been good to see that it gets acknowledged, like, the doctor doesn't just become you know, a Black woman and not have to face any of the difficulties in life that a Black woman faces, you know, or even just a white woman, like, you know, having, if Matt Smith as a young doctor walked into a room and I think that people should have looked at him and said, this is ridiculous, who's this kid we're listening to, then certainly Jodie as a woman should have faced that as well. Not from everybody. I don't think everybody does it in the world, but I think it certainly should have been something that they should have faced. It would have been a true, if, especially if you're trying to represent, you know, the people that you essentially look like or are, that would be the best way to go, look, these are the things they're facing. Let's address them. And it would be neat to see that from a perspective of somebody that's like, whoa, holy shit, why are people treating me this way? This shouldn't be the way you treat people.
Well, that's it. Because in the end, drama isn't about representing reality. It's about representing conversations of reality in a weird way that, you know, people say, well, I mean, one of some of the arguments you'll see in conversation in public spaces is that, well, you know, why do we have to have so many women or ethnic people on television? You don't see that as the makeup of society or the makeup of my society. And it's like, well, you know, a soap will have the angry person, the nosy person, the dangerous person. Right. And that's, you wouldn't get that in your street or down your local pub. But it's because it's there to represent most of facets of society. Yeah. And I think you're right. So in a sense, Doctor Who is a commentary on those sort of conversations, as every drama is. And maybe it could, perhaps. I suppose it's a dangerous line, because if you do it badly, it starts to sound like you're lecturing or you are, soapboxing, which people respond
absolutely.
To.
And if you think of it this way, with Matt Smith, in the scenario that I set up, being a white male and a young white male, you could have made it like a running gag where he'll walk in the room and say, everybody listen to me. And people are just like, oh my God, and ignore him. And it's a running joke kind of thing, because it could work until he finds his feet where I can become a commanding presence. But you could do it as a running joke. Mm-hmm. If you're to do it with Jodie, you're not really going to get away with it as a joke. You have to do it in a more serious context.
Yes.
And you'd probably want to do it more sparingly, because you certainly don't want to undermine the doctor every episode simply because they're a woman. Like, you'd want to address it as something that happens, but obviously use it to make it impactful and use it sparingly to make it impactful. Whereas with Matt Smith, I thought it would have been great. It could have been done certainly impactfully. It should have been done impactfully. I think they even did it a little bit with Peter Davison, but maybe not to the same degree, but it should have been done in both cases, I thought, where they would look at somebody, because it certainly happens now. You get an actual physical medical doctor that walks into a room, male, female, or whatever, young, and somebody will talk to them, and then they'll say, like, oh, okay, is there another doctor here? Like, they're looking for the older one, the one that has, you know, more often than not, they're looking for the older one that has the, quote, more experience. Sometimes they want the younger person with the newer ideas. But it's just a reality, you know, that I think it would have been interesting to see them face at least at some point, you know, and the obverse of that would have been interesting as well, to have seen Matt Smith come in as this youthful looking person with an older soul who kind of finds his way to being youthful again, but still commanding. And then when he changed into Peter Capaldi, then Peter Capaldi acting and dressing younger would have made more sense, because he just came off the boot hills of being that. You know,
on the other hand,
would have worked better.
All of this could be just completely a waste of time, because we had a northern working class male doctor back 15, 16 years ago, and nothing was made of that at all in the show.
Yeah.
And we just carried on doing stories regardless of largely of his accent. And maybe that's a better way to just go. Just forget about that and just carry on and
there
tell some stories about adventures and monsters and alien invasions and bad guys who chew the scenery and all that kind of so on type stuff.
I think there is an argument for that, because there is also an argument that goes against it, to saying, well, the problem is that you've got a wide audience with a wide range of backgrounds and perspective of what is reality to them. And if you don't do it right, it can feel to them as if it's no longer representing their reality, if you see what I mean. So someone who is... A woman who has spent their lives being patronized, a woman who's been spent their life being patronized by men, or a woman who has lived a very dominant life and has has succeeded over that, or a man who has never seen these situations, to a woman who has been abused, to a person who is black, who has suffered a lot of racism, to a white person who's never seen that before and doesn't. So there's a lot of things then. How do you, I suppose, how you navigate these things in a 40-minute show where they don't become patronizing or soapboxing or just trivial or just confusing to different audiences is probably one of the reasons why I suppose Doctor Who probably navigates around them a bit and not really focuses on them. And when they have done, there have been criticisms of them being a little too heavy-handed of late, obviously, with Jodie's first season. So I don't know. It's a difficult one, but I think it's an interesting conversation point. It's like where. I suppose in the end, suppose the show is runs the line of the character is so dominant when they enter the room that people's perceptions of how they would normally treat them if they were just normal people sort of goes by the wayside. So when Christopher Eccleston's Doctor in his leather jacket storms into a room of scientists and takes control, that he is so dominant, no one ever really thinks to question that. And the same for Jodie or the same for Matt Smith. And I suppose that's the rationale that the show gets around these sort of questions of how we treat each other, which is what I think Brian's talking about.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. I'll just press this. Now, if you have watched, thank you. Okay. If you've watched Revolution of the Daleks, then you know that, spoiler time, Graham has moved on, as has Ryan, and Bradley Walsh and Tosin Cole have left Doctor Who, and they have been replaced by one person, actor, and it says here, comedian, John Bishop. You'll have seen him in a brief snippet at the end of the episode. John Bishop is a... Now, I'm not going to say he can't act, because I've seen him act. The first thing he did on TV was a thing with Helen McCrory, where she played a kind of a lawyer. It was a few years ago, and then it wasn't bad. It was about 2015 it was on, and I'm assuming he's done a bit more acting since then. However, he does have rather a... shall we say, impenetrable Scouse accent. So this has raised a few eyebrows, hasn't it? Yes, it has. So, chaps, what do you think of John Bishop?
I'll be honest, I don't even really know what I've seen him in or anything before. I have no idea, actually. I'd have to see the clip.
He's more comedian, sort of, than he does dramatic roles. So if you're outside the UK, I'm not entirely surprised you might not be aware of him, particularly.
Yeah, no, that's a fair enough point. I'm just going to bring up some deets on John Bishop. He's also a former footballer. But more to the point, let's just get down to his appearances. He usually appears as a comedian in things, as noted. But there was, I'm just going to find that show he was in, Fearless. And that's pretty much the only bit of acting he's done on TV. It was with Helen McCrory, where she plays a human rights lawyer. It was quite a good little serial, actually. And he basically played her boyfriend. So he only had a few lines.
But the casting for the new show has been pretty good in this sort of way. I mean, when you've had people like Catherine Tate, Billy Piper, obviously.
Yeah.
People who are not associated with sort of dramatic acting. And sometimes in those cases, music and comedy. They've proven to be good choices. So he's always seemed quite a charming character to me when I'm not fantastically well associated with him, but whenever I've seen him on, I've recognised him, and I've thought he's got a bit of charm to him. I think the accent is an interesting thing, because I'm thinking back to how Lister and Red Dwarf and how his accent didn't translate well in the States. But then I suppose, you know, Beatles, I don't know. I think he's a nice choice. I'm glad they've got a mature actor in there. It could have been very easy for them to go and get another young actor. I think it's good. In term, you know, as we know, there is ageism within the industry. I think it's nice that while we've got this female doctor, we're getting these older actors being able to play. It'd be nice to have had maybe an older actress, a female actor would be good. I think that would have been, because obviously we see how those parts can somehow dry up for women when they get older, sadly. So that could have been good. But I think John, I think he seems like a good replacement for Bradley Walsh, which is clearly what he's doing.
I'm kind of
on with it. I think that's, and the little clip at the end, even though he just smiles, I think it's like, yeah, I think he seems all right. So we'll see.
We will see.
But I think it's a good move on the show to have gone with another mature male actor. I think that makes a nice dynamic if they do that well.
Well, I think they went with what worked because Ryan as a character wasn't working. Just there was no character for the most part for Ryan, and Bradley had a character, but they only let him have the character kind of like half the time from what I saw. Everything else, he was kind of just like comic relief kind of thing, but he worked. People liked him when he got his character to come out and when he got to be that kind of like father figure kind of thing. I don't anticipate that they're going to be the same type of character, certainly not from the clip that was shown.
No.
But he's definitely still the same kind of working class kind of guy from the looks of it kind of thing. But in a much, you know, that little smile at the end and just what his buddy's reading to him definitely sounds like they're going to be different personality types. But I think that probably leans or rather shows why he was chosen, because looking at the two male characters that were leaving, they looked at which one worked and kind of said, OK, well, stick with this.
I think it'd be interesting as well if Jodie does go, which I think is probably likely. I mean, it's been for the last few years conversations about Jodie and Chris Chibnall just staying to the end of their sort of expected sort of contract lengths, which was another couple of years. I do wonder, given some of the sort of, I know it's a lot of PR stuff, so it's hard to really tell, but I wouldn't entirely be surprised if that quartet had been a very strong quartet, and with two of them leaving, maybe that would be another reason why Jodie might want to wrap up. But I think what is interesting is that if you have him come on this year, John Bishop, it's most likely that he'll probably stay for two. We're not sure, but you know, just on an average, that would mean that he would cross over to a next Doctor, which would be interesting too, depending on what that Doctor is.
Yeah, it's only happened once.
A mature actor
since 2005.
With, I'm sure he probably hates being called a mature actor, but
yeah.
A maturer actor,
a more mature
running one. Alongside a new Doctor, I think is quite an interesting, different take too.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, I'm with Rose now, and with Clara, didn't it? But that's the only time it's happened in the current show. John Bishop has also appeared in the Ken Loach film Roots Irish, and he also appeared in seasons 3 and 4 of E14 drama Skins, according to his Wikipedia page.
Russell T Davies's favourite.
Is it?
Skins, wasn't it? Wasn't that always in the his producer diaries ones that he did with...
Oh, it's a long time since I read that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Skins is one of his was his one of his favourites when he was on the show.
Right. Okay, you're probably right.
Probably.
There's other stuff happening in Doctor Who, though. That's the crazy
really?
Thing. Yeah, there is. There's one other thing. We should just mention that Mark Eden passed away a few days ago. He was 92 when he passed away. He played Marco Polo in Marco Polo. And he was a long-running character actor for decades. And he was in various ITC fantasy programming and other bits and bobs over the years, and of course was well known for Coronation Street, where he played a lunatic. So I'll leave that there. And yes, there is something else going on. It is back. It's been dredged once more from the annals of forgotten Doctor Who, the Dark Dimension. Over on We Are Cult, what I'm about to read is like a who's who of people who used to work write for Casterbris. James Gent has posted how the Dark Dimension is being adapted as an audio drama, but not by Big Finish, and it's going to be published on YouTube over the coming weeks. And it has been scripted and directed by Billy Garrett John, who also contributed to Cast Overs back in the day. There's quite a lot to this. It doesn't feature Tom Baker. It features voice actor Matthew Toffolo and various other people from around the world. So it's obviously been done in a kind of a Zoom sort of a remote recording kind of way. So this and everything else we talked about in this week's podcast with a K will be found in the show notes. So that's we discussed the Dark Dimension as it was as a originally a 1993 30th anniversary Doctor Who production, which would have starred Tom Baker and with supporting cast of John Pertwee and Peter Davison and Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred as the Doctor's companion and various. There was Rick Mayall and Brian Blessed were both cited as the main villain throughout, and it's a very strange kind of a story, which has its it would make quite a good video game actually, more than a TV show, I suspect, the Dark Dimension. Yeah. But that's another conversation entirely. We talked about the Dark Dimension. I'll link to that in the show notes as well a few years ago. I do feel it's. Having read a lot about the Dark Dimension, I do feel it's kind of a story that isn't quite complete. So it's interesting to see, following the old YouTube animation, which frankly was awful, to see a new version of it being produced. I'm also surprised to see that have Big Finish not shown any interest in it, or Big Finish aren't involved at all. It's not a Big Finish thing. So I find that quite strange, given Big Finish's penchant for. Unfinished scripts over the years.
I don't know, maybe because they've got a close relationship with Tom Baker, maybe there's reasons why.
Maybe. I mean, it was by Adrian Wrigglesford as well, so maybe he's keen for not Big Finish to do it. I don't know. But that's coming along.
I was going to say also. In the news was Barbara Shelley, who was in Planet Fire, passed away.
Right. I missed that.
And, Nicola Bryant sort of made a comment about how nice she was on set to her and gave her lots of tips, which I thought was kind of sweet. Just like she was in lots of Hammer horror films.
Yes.
I thought I turned my sound down on my phone, but clearly not. Well, I have.
It sounds like it, so. You're drinking a lot of wine, we'll be honest. And you're clinking glasses like you're at some sort of dinner party, all alone.
It's
because
the sound, of
lockdown.
It's the sound of a Blake 7 Liberator teleport bracelet, all right? Okay. You want to call me out, call me out.
Turn the sound down on his phone, sure. He's got a fun little replica collection.
You're trying to teleport away from here, aren't you?
I'm just wanted by other people at the moment, all right? Actually, people who are actually saying how they're supporting Jodie Whittaker at the moment on Twitter apparently is getting a few nasty.
Yes, it is getting a bit ridiculous. Because, I mean, I had a look and if anyone's got any ire with Doctor Who, it shouldn't be with any of the actors.
No, I think that's a real shame. She seems such a kind person as well.
Yeah. And as I've said previously, and I'll say it again, I'm not 100% sold on her as the Doctor, but everything she does sort of in character, out of the show, talking to fans and stuff like that, she's absolutely marvellous at it.
Yeah,
and that absolutely. Can't be an easy part of the job. She nails that completely.
No, yeah, I totally agree.
On that note, we'll bring this Casterbis podcast with Kate to a close. Look out for our next episode in which we'll be discussing Revolution of the Daleks. Until then, it's goodbye.